Blog Talk Radio.
At 12 o'clock, it's Talking Sports with Mike T. I'm your host, Mike Trematozzi, here with you till 12:30. We'll go over everything that's going on in the world of sports. A little sidetrack right now. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because personally I don't want to. But congrats to Jason Collins, NBA center, journeyman, big man, played for the Nets when they went to those NBA finals. Has decided to come out and be the first active athlete to come out and announce that they are gay. And like I said, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I'm extremely happy that someone has decided to do it, because I think that now we can actually begin to move on and kind of crush all these social stereotypes that exist with it and all the silliness that exists with it from people who are absent-minded and closed-minded and whatnot. So there's really not much to say. Big ups to Jason Collins. I think it's a huge step forward. I'm glad someone had the mental and physical strength to deal with that type of pressure. And I think it's a big moment for, like I said, a society that claims in the 21st century to be moving towards a very open-minded place. And if you look at poll results, it is, but at the same time, it's not. So I think this is a big step forward towards having those discussions and kind of maybe altering people's minds about what is normal and what's I think it's about time we got rid of all those silly stereotypes and all the closed-mindedness that people have towards this. And I think it's time we move forward and get back, you know, normal. At some point, this is not going to be a story, and I hope we get to that point, to where this isn't a story, and we don't need to be having a discussion about so-and-so coming out and whatnot. It should be something that we shouldn't care one way or the other, but a big step forward for Jason Collins. I wish him nothing but the best as he goes through this, and nothing but positive thoughts and everything going towards him. Alan Hahn put it perfectly on Twitter. Jason Collins is a basketball player and has the only identity that anyone should feel the need to judge or analyze. Same with Kobe Bryant. Don't suffocate who you are because of the ignorance of others. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at mtrematozzi, that's at mtrematozzi. But like I said, that kind of just sprung up in the last half hour or so. So I figured it was appropriate to at least mention it. And like I said, big ups to Jason Collins and nothing but the best for him as he moves forward with his life. And like I said, all the power to him. As long as he's happy, that's all that anybody should care about. But let's change topics and move towards playoffs. You got the hockey playoffs that are set in stone. We'll go through the matchups real quick. You got in the East, you have the 1-8 matchup is Pittsburgh against the Islanders. Pittsburgh won the season series 4-1. Islanders won the first game in January, but lost the next two. They were close games, though. If you look at the scores on this, Pittsburgh won 4-2, 4-2, and 2-0. And in between that, on March 10th, they won 6-1. So the Islanders seem to play them tough, and the Islanders have a history of beating Pittsburgh in the playoffs. I don't know if I see it this year. Pittsburgh is on a roll. They're a juggernaut team in the Eastern Conference right now in terms of the point total, 72 points, second to Chicago in the NHL for the race to the President's Cup. The thing for the Islanders is if they can get hot goaltending. Nabokov's been pretty good this year. Their scoring has started to pick up. Josh Bailey's become a pretty big secondary scorer for this team behind Tavares. So it'll be interesting. I think the Islanders can win a game, maybe two. I would just see a very hard time that they can beat Pittsburgh 4-7. Montreal, Ottawa, battle of Canadian teams is the 2-7 matchup in the East. The Canadiens won the season series 2-1-1. Ottawa's only win was a 2-1 win of February 25th in a shootout. These teams haven't played since March 13th, so over a month has gone by since this matchup has been finished. Ottawa also won 5-1 the first game of the year. So Montreal won a game in a shootout, won a game in regulation. Montreal is the better team. Ottawa, even if there's this offside chance that Erik Karlsson comes back and plays, which would be insane, I don't think he would play in this first round matchup. Ottawa would probably have to get past Montreal. I just think Montreal's played really well all season. They've kind of stumbled a bit going into the break here. There was a fight with Boston to see who would win the division. Boston lost it by a point. They now face Toronto as the 5 seed, which is an interesting 5 seed because Toronto's got a lot of firepower. The Boston did win the regular season series, but they are Toronto's a very skilled offensive team with Van Riemsdyk, Kessel, and a bunch of other guys. They've got the defensive players with Phaneuf. That's a good team and an interesting team back in the playoffs after out for a couple of years. They've seemed to regain some momentum in Toronto. It's interesting to see how many Canadian teams make it into the playoffs. This year you've got four, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, and Vancouver, obviously the four biggest ones. The other one you have is Winnipeg and Calgary and Edmonton. But at some point those teams are going to have to get themselves back in, get themselves going. Teams that didn't make the playoffs that made it last year: Philly, New Jersey, Nashville, Phoenix, and Florida. Florida went from winning the division to being the worst team in the league. Rangers, Capitals. The Capitals turned it on and absolutely went on a tear to not only get into the playoffs but win the division and steal the division away from teams like Carolina and Winnipeg, who fell off towards the end of the season. The Rangers got hot at the end of the year, won, I think it was 4 in a row, to clinch a playoff spot. They beat the Devils twice, and then they beat Carolina. They lost to Florida, but they beat Carolina. So they went 3-1 to end the season. The Rangers won the regular season series 2-1, but they lost the last game the teams played 3-2 in a shootout. Washington, like I said, is on fire. They're on at home the first two games. The Rangers have struggled a bit scoring on the road, so it'll be interesting to see how this series goes forward. I think it's going to be a 7-game series. There's a chance for a couple of these to go 7, because I think Boston-Toronto can go 7. The Rangers-Capitals can go 7. I don't know if Montreal-Ottawa can. There's a chance. Ottawa's played really well despite all those injuries, and I don't think the Islanders can force 7 games against Pittsburgh, but I've been wrong before. I think it's just a great step forward for the organization going forward with a coach like Jack Capuano, totally young nucleus with Tavares, Bailey, Okposo, guys like Niederreiter and Stroh coming in off of Bridgeport next year. This is a step they had to take this season, get into the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see. You know, they have a history when they play the 1-8 matchup, as they did back in the earlier part of the 2000s, winning one of those two games on the road, but losing in 5 or 6. They did it against Buffalo. I know for a fact they did it against Ottawa. So the Islanders tend to play pesky as an 8 seed. I guess there's just too much firepower on Pittsburgh for me to think that they've got a chance to beat the Islanders. But the Islanders have played really, really well, except for this last couple games here where they blew a game against Philly they had to win, and then they lost in a shootout to Buffalo. So two games that the Islanders had to win. They would probably be sitting at the 6th seed if they had these wins. They would be. The way everything shook out, the Islanders had those wins, or at least got a point. If they won the Buffalo game and got a point against Philly, they would have been the 6th seed, and they would have been facing the Capitals, which is a lot in terms of chance of winning. a lot different. Obviously, Pittsburgh to Washington, as hot as Washington's been, the Islanders finished only 2 points behind them. So out west, Chicago, Minnesota. Minnesota sneaks in as the eighth seed, just beating out Columbus on tiebreakers. Minnesota spent all that money in the offseason, Zach Parise, and they snuck into the playoffs, so I guess it's money well spent that they got in. I don't think they have any shot against Chicago. Chicago's an absolute juggernaut. 77 points on the season. Obviously, they had the huge winning streak at the beginning of the season. Anaheim, Detroit. Detroit gets in as the 7th seed and keeps their playoff streak alive. I think it's up to 23 straight years. They won the regular season series against the Ducks. The Ducks, probably the third best team in the NHL behind Pittsburgh and Chicago. So they're no slouch. I think Detroit's going to have some trouble here. I would not expect this series to go more than 5-6 games. I think Anaheim's the better team. Vancouver, San Jose, again, another team that keeps their playoff streak alive in San Jose. For the first time in a while, they're actually underdog against another team in Vancouver that played pretty well in the second half of the season. There was talk early in the year that this team wasn't going to go anywhere. That's a toss-up series. Vancouver beat San Jose a couple years ago in the Western Conference Finals. So it'll be interesting to see if Vancouver can kind of continue that dominance they've had over San Jose in the playoffs. They didn't have it in the regular season because the Sharks won the season series 3-0. If there was a lower seed that could definitely beat a higher seed, I think the matchups you want to look at are Toronto-Boston, San Jose-Vancouver, LA-St. Louis, and the Rangers and Washington. I think those are four series where the lower seed has a definite possibility of upsetting the higher seed. Even though 4-5s really... I don't really consider 4-5s to be much of an upset. The Kings go from the 8th seed where they won the Cup last year to the 5 seed. They play the 4 seed in St. Louis, who they beat in 5 games last year in the playoffs. They won the regular season series 3-0. I'd be very surprised if the Kings didn't win this series and move on to the second round, where obviously in the NHL it reseeds after every round, so you can't just tell like in the NBA where they go immediately. The NBA's got the rigid tournament style bracket. The NHL will reseed after every round. If I had to pick a finals matchup, obviously a lot of people are picking Pittsburgh, Chicago. I wouldn't be surprised. Don't count out teams like Montreal and Anaheim. Obviously, Los Angeles, they've proven last year that they have a hard time being beat in the playoffs. They only lost 2 games in the Western Conference side of the bracket, and then they lost 2 games to the Devils, so only 4 losses in four rounds of the playoffs, which is an insane number if you think about how many games that were. They only played 13 games in the they played 19 playoff games last year, and they went 15-4, which is a ridiculous number. Or 16-4. I don't know. That was a really bad math there on my part. Jeez, where did I get 19 from? Everybody knows you take 16 wins to get the championship. So I don't know where that came from. But if I were to make my picks before the playoffs start, since I can actually have some sort of wherewithal on these picks, unlike the NBA ones we had to do where nothing was set, I would say it's probably going to be Chicago, Pittsburgh. Don't count out Montreal. I think that's a dark horse team, even as a 2 seed. I don't think a lot of people are giving them some respect considering how good Pittsburgh is. I would say Chicago, Pittsburgh, or Chicago, Montreal. I think the Ducks are good, but I don't think they can hang with the Blackhawks. Maybe go 7, but I don't think they, in the end, have enough to get past the Blackhawks. So let's move on. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll try and get some hockey people on in the next week or two to go over it as it goes on. We'll move on to the NBA playoffs, where you have teams finish series off. You had teams like the Knicks who blew a chance to finish the series. Miami finished off the Bucks. San Antonio finished off the Lakers in sweeps. Tonight, the Bulls can finish off the Nets. OKC can finish off Houston. Denver is in serious, serious trouble against Golden State because right now they have no answer to try and stop anything that Stephen Curry does. If you watched that game last night, 22 points in the third quarter absolutely annihilated Denver in that third quarter and took control of that game. Memphis and the Clippers, two very bad showings in Memphis, even that series of two. The Hawks have a chance tonight to even the series with Indiana, which is good if you're a Knicks fan. You want that series to go as long as possible. Even maybe have the Hawks eke out a series win, which would be divine. But the Knicks have to take care of their business. They didn't yesterday. They fell behind by 20 without J.R. Smith and Carmelo Anthony shooting 10 for 35. Here's why this is not a big deal, because they're still up 3-1. No team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in the NBA playoffs. Only seven teams have ever come back from a 3-1 deficit in the NBA playoffs out of, I think it was 230 series, something like that. I know the number was only seven. And they were showing that during Denver and Golden State. So if you want to say now it's a 3-1 series, it's still only seven teams have come back from a 7 out of 200-plus. Not good odds. Now you're going back to Madison Square Garden. Here's what the Celtics got last night. 30 points from Paul Pierce, 20 points-plus from Jeff Green, and they got almost 20 points from Jason Terry. And it still had to go to overtime. And they were losing that game with a minute to go. The Knicks had the lead. And Kevin Garnett got away with the travel. I'm not going to get into it. If you watch the replays of that final bucket, Kevin Garnett took about three steps and changed his pivot foot. But if I told you that without J.R. Smith and Carmelo Anthony shooting 10 for 35, only the second game in his playoff career where he shot under 30% from the field, you would have assumed that the Knicks lost by 20 points. And they were down 20 points. And the show of this series is that, again, the Celtics couldn't score in the second half. They had 54 points at the half. They went into overtime with 84. That's 30 points in the second half. I don't know what they're doing at halftime, but they need to change it. Because they are not coming out in the second half with any sort of intensity or anything. With J.R. Smith back, they can't stop Raymond Felton. Carmelo's not going to shoot 10 for 35 again. And the Celtics, I'm not sure they can get almost 70 points from Pierce, Terry, and Jeff Green again. I just don't see it. And Garnett, I don't think, is going to have 15, 18, and 3 and 6 assists like he did again. I just don't see a way that the Celtics go into New York and win that game. This isn't baseball. There's a reason why it's never happened in the NBA, because better players win. This isn't hockey where a goalie can stand on his head and stop you physically from scoring. It's not baseball where a pitcher can physically stop you from getting runs by either not letting you get on base or striking you out and getting out of innings. A pitcher in baseball, if he's on his game, can stop you from physically scoring runs. In basketball, the only thing that stops someone from not scoring is the ball not going in the basket. You can play the best defense in the world. At some point, shots go in the basket. No NBA team has not scored 0 points. The Celtics have tried in this series, but they've not scored. They got abused on the offensive glass last night, 16-3. The Knicks out-rebounded them 54-30. 54-40. The Knicks uncharacteristically had 15 turnovers. They had 12 in the first half. If the Knicks played any semblance of normal Knick basketball, they would have won this game. In the first half, if they showed up and played like they played the second half, they would have won this game going away. They almost won it in regulation down 20 with their best player shooting 10 for 35 and 0 for 7 from the three-point line. They only got 7 points off the bench. Raymond Felton can't be stopped. 27 points again the other night. They have no way to stop Raymond Felton either getting to the basket and just carving them up with pick and rolls. And again, 26 from Jeff Green, 9 for 22. And the Knicks missed 7 free throws. They're normally a better free throw shooter than that. They also shot 7 for 30 from 3, which I guarantee you won't happen again. There are certain things you can guarantee. The Celtics are not going to get. They only had 4 guys in double figures. Garnett had 13. The other guys were close to 20. You're not going to get. I don't think you're going to get. Or I don't want to say won't, but I don't think you have the ability now, at this stage of your career, to say Paul Pierce is a lock to get 30. The Celtics bench outside of Jason Terry scored 4 points. With J.R. Smith coming back and adding his 15 points a game that he scored in this series, the Knicks, they're not going to have to play Jason Kidd 37 minutes again. You don't want to do that, but Kidd, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. Another game where he didn't score, but he did other things. Missed a couple open threes. The Knicks are not going to shoot 23% from 3 again. They're not going to shoot 35%. They're too good of a shooting team. If you want to bet on Carmelo Anthony shooting 10 for 35 again, I will take that bet and take whatever winnings I get, because that's what's going to happen. It's not going to happen that he's going to shoot like this again. Chandler, 5 points, 11 rebounds, 1 block. You're starting to see a better Tyson Chandler. Iman Shumpert, 12 and 12 rebounds. Huge second half for Iman Shumpert. A couple steals, including one on Paul Pierce that tied the game in the fourth quarter. I just don't see a way coming back home. It would be different if it was 3-1 going back to Boston. Then I'd say, you know what? Home crowd, maybe it gets them going. But Pierce played 50 minutes. Green played 50 minutes. These aren't spring chickens. The 2 days off will help, but 50 minutes is a lot. Now you're expecting them to go on the road where they didn't win the first two games and now win a game where, even though they won game 4, a game that, great, now you're down 3-1. The Knicks were without their second best scorer, and their best player shot 10 for 35. It still went to overtime. They were down 59-39 with under 8 minutes to go in the third quarter, and it still went to overtime. They outscored them in the second half 49-30 before the Celtics outscored them 13-6 in overtime. That's fine. Whatever. There's still this fact that the Celtics can't score in the second half. Or in the first half, if you look at Game 3, they scored 31 points in the first half of Game 3 and lost. So as a Knicks fan, are you annoyed that they didn't win? Yeah, you're annoyed. It stinks. You wanted this series to be over. But you're going back home where you're 33-10 if you count the playoffs, against a team that you've beaten now 6 out of the 8 times this season. I just don't see a way where the Celtics win 4 before the Knicks win 1. The Celtics are not better than the Knicks 4 times out of 5. And they can't even get that 5th. The Celtics can't lose a game. They have to win all 4. So they have to go 4-0. 2 games are going to be at Madison Square Garden if it even gets to Game 7. I don't see it. It's just an aggravation that now you got to wait till Wednesday, which is a byproduct of the NBA scheduling, which stinks. I don't know why the Nets and Bulls get to play every other day, but the Knicks and Celtics get to take 9 days off between games. And you don't know what time Game 5 is going to be yet on Wednesday. It's either going to be 7 or 8:30, depending on if Houston can beat. If Houston extends the series tonight, I believe the Knicks will be playing at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Otherwise, it will be, I think, 8 o'clock or 8:30 if Houston loses tonight. let's go through what I think is going to happen tonight, because like I said, we won't be here on Wednesday. If we're coming back on Monday and we're discussing this Knicks-Celtics series, then something horrible has gone wrong. Something has gone terribly wrong if this time next week we are still discussing this series. The series doesn't get past Wednesday. The Celtics aren't going to come into Madison Square Garden, where the Knicks have only lost 10 times all year, and beat the Knicks, where they had the best possible game they could play, and they still blew a 20-point lead and had to go to overtime. So if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm annoyed, but I'm not worried. But let's go over tonight. Let's go over tonight in the NBA playoffs. No Kirk Heinrich tonight for the Bulls, as they try to finish off the Nets, who I don't know how the Nets come back from that game on Saturday, where they blow a 14-point lead with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and lose in triple overtime. I don't know how they do it. There's two potential closeout games tonight. I think even without Heinrich, the Bulls have enough to get by. You're going to have to see some Marcus Teague tonight, because I don't think there's any way you can play Nate Robinson 48 minutes. If there was a game Brooklyn could win, it would be this. I kind of picked the Bulls in six at the beginning, so it wouldn't surprise me if the Nets won today and extended the series. But from a mental standpoint, that has to be a fragile locker room. So it could go either way. If I was to take a guess, I would say that the Bulls don't win. Without Heinrich, I think that's enough to allow Deron Williams, because Heinrich's been pretty good defensively on him. I think that's enough to, with Nate Robinson guarding him, to let Deron have a big game, and then the Nets pull it out. Pacers-Hawks. The Pacers are going to need to learn how to score on the road, apparently. They scored over 100 points in the first two games, or averaged over 100 points in the first two games. Everyone's like, whoa, look at the Pacers' offense. You know, how's anybody going to – this is a dangerous team. And then they went out and scored 69 points against the Hawks and got blown out by 21 points. If the Pacers lose this game, they're in serious trouble of losing the series, because I don't think they have the mental capacity to win on the road. I don't think they have the – this team is not mentally tough, because I spoke about this before the series even started. This is the same team that had a halftime lead against the Heat in Game 4, about to go up 3-1 at home, and they blew it, and then they lost the series in 6. This is the same exact team, minus Danny Granger. The same exact team. You're telling me I really trust this team to get to increase a 2-1 lead on the road against a team that just spanked them by 20 points? If this gets to 2-2, I have serious doubts about the Pacers winning this series. OKC, Houston, two really good games 2 and 3. Oklahoma City found ways to win them, especially Game 3 without Russell Westbrook. 41-14 from Kevin Durant. I still think Houston's got a chance to win this game. I think Houston's going to win this game, and then I think they're going to lose in OKC, which would be on Friday. It can't be on Friday. It would be Wednesday, that's right, because then the Knicks would play the early game. I think Houston wins tonight. I think Atlanta wins tonight. And like I said, it's a toss-up either way, but I think without Heinrich, the Nets win tonight. I'd like to thank everybody who took the time to listen. We are unfortunately out of time. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I know I always do. So everybody enjoy your week. Enjoy your sports week. Enjoy everything. The weather's getting nice. Everybody enjoy it. And I'll see everybody back here next week at the same time. So everybody, take care.